Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Okay, we're going to get past this, all right? Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now God gives everybody a gift. Amen. And it's according to the grace that He gives you. Some gifts may take more grace than others. But everybody in this body has gifts. Everybody. Nobody's unimportant. Nobody's without gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so He says, now there's a lot of us members, but we're every one of another. We're all connected. And He said, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, and you would put preaching there, prophecy, foretelling in the New Testament. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Lord, help us tonight as we try to encourage one another. And Lord, help us to use these gifts You've given us in 2019 to bring people to Christ, to glorify others, and to edify ourselves. And Lord, that's what the church is here for. And so, Lord, everybody that comes in here is important. You've given them gifts according to the grace You've given them. So help us tonight to encourage folks to do that. And whatever's done this year, we're going to look up to You and say, You did it all. And we'll give You the glory for it because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I went through Walmart today and bought a little pocket calendar. And it wasn't real crowded. And as I went, always go out the gardening end because it's less people down there in the wintertime. And it struck me, that same woman, I've run past her in that store 100 times. It's an older woman, and she's been there a long time, but she's never checked me out. And so she checked me out today, and as she checked me out, I said, listen, I want to invite you to church. I just want to invite you to church, and I know you're busy, you ain't got time to talk. But we just moved over here, and I gave one of those church brochures with that little thing on the back that says, we moved. And I said, that's the address right there. You need to come see us. She said, well, I sure appreciate that. I thank you. And she appreciated that. Now, that wasn't a great witness, but it may be something that she needed. You'd be surprised how many people never invited me to church. And there's people all over this place. Nobody ever invited them to church. And so tonight I want to help you a little bit with your gift. I can't tell you what it is, but everyone can reach someone. Everybody can reach somebody. Some of the people that you could reach wouldn't even listen to me. You're supposed to say amen. You say amen like that. Some of y'all don't listen to me either, so what difference does it make? But sometimes, somewhere, and somehow, God will allow you to use the gift that He's given you. See? Now, you can't tell Him what to give you as a gift. You could ask Him for something. But most people don't even recognize what He's already given them. And so, we just need to realize that every church member that darkens these doors, sits in these chairs, everyone is a part of this body. Just like that finger right there is a part of this body, just like that thumb is a part of this body, and that ear and that nose, and they're all important, and one without the other would be strange. And everybody that comes to this church, everybody, doesn't matter who you are, everybody can do something to reach other people for Jesus Christ. Mainly, it's just make it attractive to be a Christian. You ever thought about that? There's a lot of Christians that I saw that made me not want to be Christians because of maybe the way they acted was not attractive. Maybe the way they talked was not attractive. Maybe the way they live was not attractive. It didn't attract me to Christ. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But everybody in here has a gift that God's given them. Everybody's important. God's given talents, abilities, and everybody in this church has a talent or an ability, whether you've recognized it or not. Everybody. I don't care who you are. And so tonight I want to help you with that. Over all these years I've been in the ministry, since 1981, all these years, I've learned a few things, okay? Now, if I want to know something about what you do, I'll come ask you. So would you let me just give you about 30 minutes of let me tell you what I know about what I do? And I can tell you some things that will help you, and it'll help other people, and it'll help your church, if you'll just give me your ear for just a little bit. But I've learned some ways to make Jesus Christ seen. Now, we've never seen him with our eyes. You haven't. I haven't. There's a young man came up out here one day wanting to put his truck on the lot with a for sale sign on it because all these cars pass by here. And I said, I'll make you a deal if you do. I'll let you set it there if you come to church Sunday. Well, of course, you never saw the truck. He said he was coming, but he never did. But he had some problems. He said, do you believe in voices? Does God talk to you? Do you hear angels? I said, no, sir. He said, for instance, when I read the book of Revelation, I've had angels talk to me. I said, son, God talks to people in different ways. I said, mainly it's through the Word of God. I said, now you could have a dream. God might have inspired your dream, but you can't be exactly sure of a dream. I said, now you might have felt a compelling to do something, and God might have compelled you to do that. But you can't be 100% sure of that without the Word of God. I said, God talks through us through His Word. Now, if you'll come to church, I'll teach you the Word of God. And you'll know it, whether or not it's God talking to you. See? Of course, His way is easier. There's no commitment. You don't have to do anything. But anyway, I prayed for him and he left and he never brought his truck back. But I've learned some things. Everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. Everybody can. Now, we know that Jesus, God established a church in the New Testament and he gave us some commands. And the main command is, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. His main command was, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and making disciples, that's followers of Jesus. Now, if he told us to do that, certainly it's important. Would you say amen? Matter of fact, I would say that's the number one job of the church. Now, the church is also to edify one another and to love one another and help one another, encourage one another. But the body of Christ, as a body, our job is to lift him up and let him be seen. Now, if we can introduce him to people where they can spiritually see him through the Word of God, then we did our job. Amen? Now, I know everybody can't do everything. Everybody's not called to do everything, but everybody can do something. So I just got thinking, what can people do in 2019 in this church, through this church, to make Christ seen? Now, don't get scared. We're not going to do anything unusual or anything weird like some of these churches. We ain't going to the marathon and handing out bottles of water with our church name on it. Ain't nobody going to get saved off that. He's going to pour it on his head and throw it down and keep going. And he's not going to read as you give. But there are some common sense, biblical ways that every one of us can make Christ seen. Number one, you get saved. Let them see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Number two, you get baptized. That's a testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and your old man dying and resurrecting new. Number three, you get in the local church to prove it's important to other people. Make it a commitment. I mean a full commitment. We got so many people now that the church is just a little by thing they do every once in a while. When I got saved, I committed. I committed to the Lord. And then because I committed to Him, I committed to church. because that's where I heard about Him. That's where I received Him. That's where I was baptized. That's where I learned. That's where I grew. That's where God gave me teachers and preachers. And that's where I was edified and encouraged. That's sometimes where I was whipped, convicted. Amen? But it was all about church. This is His body on earth. Yes, He walks with me and He talks with me through His Holy Spirit, but this is where I meet the family of God, right here. Okay? Now you get that right and people will notice. People will notice those things. And they will be attracted to you because you're different. Come on. Now, you'll make Him seen that way. But then, in particular, if you got a pen, you might want to write some of these down. Basically, biblically talking, number one, of course, is preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. We know that. But we know everybody can't be a preacher. I wouldn't be one myself. He drafted. Amen. I like it now, but I didn't like the idea. And it took about 4 or 5 years to like it. It was just hard work there at first, is all it was. But preaching, people get... So, you say, well, I can't preach. Well, you can bring them down here. I'll preach to them. Amen. Share the videos. It'll preach to them. Give them stuff that will preach to them. Now, you can do these things inside the church, okay? The first ones are inside the church. Preaching. Number two, teaching. I know everybody can't teach. I know that. And everybody's not supposed to teach. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about teaching your children or one another, but I'm talking about teaching the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, that rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a calling. That's a calling. It ain't something you just decide you do. You can do that, but I've been in those Sunday school classes. They ain't real good. But teaching. You can teach the Bible. Now you can teach your children. You can teach your grandchildren. But in the church, deacon. Now everybody can't be a deacon. And I still believe the Bible. It's a man, husband of one wife, got a good reputation, good testimony, faithful. Amen? Everybody can't be a deacon. But if you can, you know, come up to me and say, preacher, I qualify. I'd like to volunteer. We'll pray over it and see. Amen? God still takes volunteers, by the way. Trustees are important in the church to stand up for the church in legal matters and things like that. Did you know joining the choir is important? You make Christ seen every time you sing in the choir and you lift up His voice. Congregational singing is important, but choir's a little more so, you know, because you got to practice. Not many people's going to commit to practice. You know, the choir, the piano, things like that. You work in the nursery. Now, what better place to sit and teach little children about Jesus than the nursery? That's where you ought to start. You see, the problem is most people wait until they're teenagers, they're already ruined, and they'll drag them into church and expect me to get them saved. Why don't you start in the nursery when they're little? Where Sister Patty could sing them a little nursery rhyme and sing them, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's why she rocks them and ruins them. You know, people that work on the building, grounds and buildings. Did you know the property and the grounds of a building is a big testimony to lost people? Now, me and you, we can worship under a tree. We don't care. You know, put up an old tent somewhere. We don't care. Brush arbor. We don't care. But that ain't the way the world looks at it. Lost people look at it and they say, man, those people, God ain't too good. The building's falling in. The grounds ain't never cut or kept up. That's important. That's the way to show Christ in this neighborhood. Did you know a lady came in Sunday, sat right over there. And I said, who invited you? She said, nobody. I live up the street. And every time I go by here, there's a big crowd in the parking lot. And I saw something was going on. I wanted to see what it was. She came in church. She went out Sunday. She said, I'll be back. Now, that was a testimony. Full parking lot's a whole lot better than an empty parking lot. Amen? That's a testimony. A lot of these people notice that. Don't think they haven't. They're not the only one. There was another couple came in and said the same thing. And they didn't know I was preaching. They'd been to our church when it was on John Street. Yeah, they'd forgotten the name. They just moved here and they've been visiting around. And then when they come in the door, I met them, and they said, "Oh, are you preaching here?" I said, "Yeah," and I think they were sorry they came in. But they went ahead and came in anyway, and they came back that night. Amen. So that's another way to show Christ. Now, I'm talking about in the building, on the property. Y'all got me? You understand? Now, outside the church, turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Now, inside the church, we can teach, we can preach, we can deacon, we can be work with finances and sing in the choir and work in the nursery, the building, the grounds. Anything you can do in here is for the glory of God. And people notice it. I've been in churches, first thing I thought when I walked into church, those people don't care nothing about this place. Or either I go in other places, I say, they're too extravagant. Amen. Amen. All right, now look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Are you there? All right. I said 31. I meant, let's do verse 30 and 31. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And don't I tell you all the time, if you can do that, you ain't got to worry about the other. You got it, buddy. Amen. We don't get past the first one. But then he said this, verse 31, "And the second," Jesus talking, "and the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Now, outside the church, we can love God, and we can love others. And did you notice that he said, "Love others as you love yourself"? You say, "Preacher, well, that's self-centered. That's all this self." No, this is not psychology junk. Go on and read Ephesians 5 and other places in the book. He says, "We feed ourselves, don't we? We clothe ourselves, don't we? We take care of ourselves, don't we?" Amen. You know why? Because you love yourself. Now you'll love yourself. God loves you. God loves you. You'll love yourself. Now, I'm not talking about this worldly kind of stuff. I'm better than everybody else, and God owes me. No, I mean, every day I get up. My arthritis is kind of bad today, but every day I get up, and I say, "Thank God I can still walk. Thank God I can still see. Thank God I can still hear. Thank God, hey, I'm still in my right mind. If I ain't, I'm feeling pretty good. Leave me alone." Every day I say, "Thank God I got a wife that still loves me. Thank God I still got children that love me. I got grandchildren that love me." Amen. Thank God I got a church, and they say they love me. If they don't, they put on a good show. And thank God. Thank God. See, that's loving yourself. That's loving yourself enough to get up every day and go to work, make a living, and take care of what God's given you. You'll thank God for it. Amen. And he gives you every day. Me and my wife, we pray. We say, "Lord, give us health and give us wealth, so that we can serve you and not have to worry about those things." Now, we didn't say that to be rich, but to give us health and give us wealth so we can pay our bills, take care of ourselves. Now, he said you'll love other people just as much. He said you'll love your wife that much, husband. Husband? I'm kind of quiet on that one, but... Wife, you'll love your husband that much, amen? That's a lot better, see. But I'm not saying love sinful flesh. I'm saying love what God's given you. That's what he said. You'll love what God's given you. There in verse 31, we'll love what God's given us, ourselves. Now, look, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to care nothing about nobody else, because you're going to feel so sorry about yourself. And you're going to be hooked on drugs and alcohol and these pity parties and all this junk. Come on. You get feeling sorry for yourself. You don't love yourself enough to take care of yourself. Pretty soon, you're hooked on drugs, you're hooked on alcohol, or you're done hooked up with people that's not going to be good for you. You'll love yourself enough to take care of yourself. God gave that to you. Amen. All right, now, so you do. You do? Yeah, I do. I fed myself this afternoon. My wife won't do that. She'll cook it. I got to feed myself. And if I didn't love myself, I wouldn't feed myself. But, hey, he said, "Oh, love other people just as much."
That's the second greatest commandment, that you love others. Now, that's what you do outside the church. Now, we have love one for another in the church because we're in the same body. I think you're a foot. You're an ear. You're a tongue. Mike's a right hand. But we love one another. So now we got to go from loving self and loving others, I mean the church, our body, that's our body, you ought to love your body, and then we go to the outside and we love others. Now how do you do that, preacher? Well, that's pretty easy. Get a burden for people. Now you're not going to get a burden sitting at home praying and say, Lord, give me a burden. You're not going to get a burden until you see it. Now, when you see it, it breaks your heart and it troubles your mind, and then that's a burden, see? You're not going to get a burden watching those folks on Facebook get their heads chopped off and stuff like that. That's just TV. It doesn't even look real to you. But get to know, go out into the real world and look at people. I'm glad somebody got a burden for me. How you do that, preacher? Well, did you know it doesn't take anything at all? Just everywhere you go, a little old gospel track or something, just say, hey, I want to invite you to church. Or just leave it there on the counter when you check out. Or did you know, I used to go by, and I hadn't done it in a long time, I'm ashamed to say it, but I used to go by all the laundromats in Rock Hill and put out gospel tracts every week. At one time, somebody was making me enough CDs. They were paying for them and making them of my sermons. And I'd take them to all of the laundromats and I'd leave CDs in those laundromats. My mother-in-law used to do cassette tapes. Back when we had cassette tapes, my mother-in-law she got a little box and she'd put them in places so people could pick up those cassette tapes. You say, well, I can't preach, can't teach, I'm not much of a witness. Well, there's a witness right there. People sitting around the laundromat, sitting around the doctor's office, going all over Walmart. You know what I used to do? Y'all ain't going to believe this. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything, so I'd go to the library and I got all the books on all the great preachers of the past, their biographies, and I'd read them. And when I'd find a bad preacher, bad biography, or cult or something, I'd take a gospel tract and open that book up and stick it in there and stick it back in the hole. I did that all over the library. But anyway, it's not a big deal. We keep a whole rack full of them back there. It wouldn't hurt you to just hand somebody a gospel tract. And hey, it wouldn't hurt you to leave them places. Every time I go to the hospital, I leave them all over the hospital. Come on. You say, well, that ain't a big deal. Well, that's loving enough so that somebody might pick it up and read it. And then, did you know that outside the church, it wouldn't hurt you to visit somebody every once in a while? And you don't have to take the preacher with you. You go to visit them for other reasons. Put the gospel in it. So, oh yeah, while I'm here, let me tell you something. Did I ever tell you how I got saved? They'll say, well, I don't know. Well, tell them again. Tell them again. And then look at them and say, I want that to happen to you. And then leave them with it. Let the Holy Ghost do the work. Boy, y'all getting quiet on me now. Yeah. I don't mind going with you. I don't mind that at all. But sooner or later, you got to learn how to walk by yourself. Hey, those friends you got that never go to church, they've never been saved. What about down on that job while you're eating lunch? What you talking about? You can make that your visitation time. I've done that. Man, the first boss lady I ever had, I had a woman. She was about 6 foot tall, and I was selling beepers. And she was a Yankee. A person from up north on top of that. And so I just witnessed to her. And was in the break room. I was heating up my lunch, you know, and she was in there, and I got talking to her and started witnessing to her, you know. And when I got through, other people started coming in. When the break room got full, she said, hey, everybody, you ought to hear the story how Ron Roddy lifted himself up by his own bootstraps. I said, whoa, stop right there. I didn't lift myself up. No, sir, Jesus lifted me up. I said, I got saved. Now, if I hadn't started that conversation, I never would have gotten that opportunity. Another time I was riding with this lady selling insurance, and I had to train her. Nobody else wanted to train her because she was a black Jehovah's Witness. I said, I ain't scared. I'll train her. So we rode around a couple of days, you know, and she told me about her religion and what all she does. So I got my turn. And I told her my whole story. And she looked at me and she said, I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life. I said, well, you must be born again. She said, we'll talk more about this later. Another time on the job, there was a guy, a young man, when I worked in the machine shop, this young Jehovah's Witness would come by. He was an inspector. He'd inspect my parts. I was running a lathe, and he'd have to inspect them. And he'd come by, and somebody told him I was a young preacher. And so he got talking to me, and he was Jehovah's Witness. And me and two old ladies started a Bible study at lunch. And we'd just take our Bibles, and we'd sit around and talk about the Bible. And he showed up at one of them. And when we got through, he said, I'm going to have to come to more of these. I learned something. So every time he'd come by me, finally he started with the magazines. He said, if I give you one of these, will it offend you? I said, not at all. He said, will you read it? I said, on one condition. He said, what's that? I said, if you let me take the scriptures and correct everything that I think I find wrong in there, and then you take it home and read those scriptures, and you come back and tell me whether I'm right or wrong. He did it. And he'd bring them to me, and I'd write scripture out beside it, and he'd come back, and we'd talk about it. And then it came Easter. And so, and it talked about Jesus didn't physically raise from the dead. It said he rose in the spirit. And so I turned him to the scripture. The first one was where Jesus appeared to the disciples. He walked through the wall. The second one was where Thomas wasn't there, but the next time Thomas was there, and Jesus told him, said, put your finger in the print of the nail and thrust your hand through my side and see that it is I. And he fell down and said, my Lord, my God. I said, now, what did that sound like? He said, it sounded like he had a body. Then I took it to where he was standing on the side of the lake while they were fishing after his resurrection, and they came to shore, and he'd already cooked them food, and he fed them and ate with them. I said, I ain't never seen Casper the ghost eat anything. If he ate it, it'd go straight through and fall on the floor. I said, what does it sound like to you? He said, it sounds like he had a body. Now, that's how you witness. That's how you witness. He said, I'm going to have to study this more. I said, you do it. Do it. Bring me more. Bring me more of them. We'll see what the Bible says. And then 2 weeks later, he came up and he said, I'm sorry to say, but the Watchtower Society has offered me a full-time ministry in their office at New York City. At first I thought, well, the devil robbed me of this guy. I'm about to win Christ. But now I look back on it, and you ever heard of computer viruses? I think I put a virus in the Watchtower Society. Amen. Amen. The Lord did that. Lord, I didn't know nothing about that. But see, that's how you witness. Get one of your friends, go see friends. Go over to some of your kinfolk's house. Go to your neighbor. Everybody can do that. How about this? A lot of folks do it here. Why can't you go down to the nurse home and talk to people? Did you know I call that the place of last resort? Their next move is not going to be back home. It's going to be up or down. And boy, that's a wonderful place to be a witness outside the church. Amen? And he told us to do that. And then I thought about this. What about sharing a ride? You know, a lot of people would go to church if you just say, well, I'm going to come by and get you. Because they'll say, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to do gas money, or my car ain't real good. Whenever you invite them to church, don't even wait for that. Say, hey, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come by and get you Sunday. I'll be by here at 9 o'clock, and I'll pick you up. You ain't got to drive, and I'll sit with you at church, and I'll introduce you to people, and you won't feel like a stranger. What's wrong with that? Amen. How about sick and shut-in people? We got sick and shut-ins in this church. And did you know there's some people that probably know some sick and shut-ins who are not saved? You go see them. How about this? Could you not write a card and send it to somebody? Could you not put a gospel track in that birthday card? anniversary card, get well, could you not put a track in that thing? You act like I'm telling you something you didn't already know. I went to the bank one day and I asked this girl at the bank, she was over there working at the window, I said, what's that you got stacked up over there? She said, that's where all these church people give me a gospel track every time they make a deposit. I said, read them, they'll help you. How about this? What if you found somebody in the church that people in their family wasn't saved, but that one person was, and that person was sickly or old and couldn't do chores around the house, you volunteered to go over and help them, and while you was there, you'd be a good witness and a good testimony. I know Rudy's done that. He said, well, let me come over and mop your floor for you. Come on. There's so many. How about widows and orphans? How about hospitality? How about being nice to people? Come over to the house, I'll feed you. And while they're over there, witness to them. I think some folks in our church, we've had visitors, and they'll invite them to their house for dinner, and they'll feed them. Well, that's a good way to do it. How many of y'all go to flea market? Let's be honest. Raise your hand. You ever been to flea market? I'm just teaching now. I'm not preaching. You've been to flea market? Ah, every one of you raise your hands. Every one of you been to flea market. You know, flea market is a good place to witness. You know, flea market. How much does a booth at a flea market cost? $10? Come on, y'all. Oh, y'all don't sell. Y'all just buy. We all rich people in here. Did you know at the fair, once a year, we don't have fair anymore, but we got flea market. Once a year, I would rent a space in the building at the fair where they had jams and jellies and all that stuff, and I'd rent a space, and I'd decorate it with pictures from the church, and I'd put banner on it, and back then I had cassettes. One year, 1,200 cassettes gave away at the York County Fair that week. There was somebody donating the cassettes. All I had to do was take them out there. They donated them, they made the copies, and they put the labels on them, and I wrote I'd open the box, and I'd write, free cassettes, take one. And people just took them. It had titled sermon, stuff like that on there. I got a shoe box, and I decorated it. And I got me some little, I made some little forms, name, address, phone number. Win a Bible, and had a nice looking King James Bible sitting on the table, and had that box sit beside it, and they'd fill out those papers and put them in that box. And so when the fair was over, I really drew a name and I called them up, and they wouldn't let me come see them. I had to mail it to them. I'm going to tell you something else too. The associational office booth was right down below mine. And one day I went in there, that box was full. Next day I went in there, there wasn't none in it. I don't know where they went. But I'll tell you this, I don't know, that mine might have got, there's another church with a guy down there doing this, and I thought, well, go into all the world and make faces. That's how people get saved. But, you know, flea market, it wouldn't hurt you to rent a booth just one Saturday. Put gospel tracts on it, put information about the church, and witness to people. Witness to people. I'm talking about outside. Y'all still with me? All right, my time's done run out, and I got so many more ideas. CDs. Why don't you buy a pack of CDs in here and bring them in there and tell Tom to say, I want you to pick out a good sermon and make all of these copies. And everywhere you go, leave those CDs. How about videos and Facebook and things like that? Belinda puts that stuff on Facebook. How many of y'all share that? How many of you share the preaching? Share the preaching. Amen. Mike does. Man, I share them everywhere. I put them out there. The last one I put out there, the total was like 1,400 people had watched that video. Yeah. And lost people's watching. I got two lost men that follow that thing, And they follow it regularly, and they let me know, too. They let me know they're watching it. I know of two lost men, I'm sure there's get some CDs, get videos, whatever you can do. Give them away. Leave them places. How about this? You know you can pray. You know, it wouldn't hurt you once a week to get the key and just come over here and sit on the altar, lay on the altar, and just make you a big old long list of people to pray for. Let me know when you get in. I'll give you the key. You can get in, be here by yourself, and just go over that list and pray and pray. Walk up and down these aisles like I do. Put your hands on the seats and pray for people. Come on. Pray for those lost people. Same time every day. Same time. And of course, he even says giving. You know, some people, God sends people to finance your church so you can do these things. We ain't got no money. I don't know anybody here rich. If you are, you hide it very well. Brother Taylor, you sitting on a bunch of money? I know you are. You live on Coffin Street. You got to have money. Amen. But God sends people to finance the ministry. Did you ever know that? You do it. God will finance it. God will raise up people. If it ain't you, it'll be somebody else to finance the ministry to this church. Just if we get the gospel out. He's not going to finance your little party every weekend. Amen. But the greatest ministry in this church, the greatest ministry is to be faithful. Do you know how few people are really faithful? About 1 in 10 Christians is really faithful. I mean faithful to the church. Attendance, services, they participate, they give, they make a commitment, they visit, they invite people to church, they witness down there on the job. Very few people are faithful. But you'll get more faithful if you start loving people like you love yourself. See, the problem is you love yourself more than you love anybody else because you don't want to be embarrassed. Or you're afraid somebody will hurt your feelings. Or you're afraid it costs you something. Time, talent, treasure. Come on. Here's what we got to do in 2019 to make him sing. Everything we can. Everything we can. And everybody in here has ability. Everybody. God has chosen, did I not read it? And gifted everybody in here. That little boy right there, God's gifted him. That little girl, that California, Southern California man right there, that Michigan guy that plays the piano, that redneck up there in the Indian land, and amen, he's gifted everybody. And you say, well, preacher, I'm scared. Did he not say, I'll give you grace to do it? Now, here's what you need to do this year. Pray about what he's gifted you. Say, God, show me my gift. And then after he shows you your gift, say, now, God, empower my gift. I need power to use this gift because I'm timid and I'm selfish and I'm afraid. God, give me power. I need grace, Lord. If you want me to do this, I need grace to do it. It's hard to lay a gospel track out. Let's do it. Look, folks, if we'll get, number one, if we'll love one another and love him and then love them, we'll turn this town upside down. Somebody asked me one day down in Lancaster, they said, 220 people got saved this revival. Don't you think that's wonderful? I said, well, we'll just have to wait and see. If 220 people got saved in this building, it turned this whole community upside down. Liquor stores would notice. Beer joints would notice. Drug dealers would notice. People of loose living and loose morals would notice, and it would bring more people in. It wouldn't stop with 220. That day of Pentecost, 120 of them got filled with the Holy Ghost and they turned the world upside down. Just 120 people. Then it was 5,000, 2,000, and thousands were saved. And it changed things. I want you to find your gift. And I want you to ask God for the grace to do it. And you don't have to tell me nothing. Just do it. Now, if you want to share it, that's fine with me. If you want to say pray about it, that's fine with me. But you know what? When I got saved, He started showing me what to do. And the only reason I did it is because I surrendered. And I said, Lord, not my will, but Thy will. And I was embarrassed when I first started doing it. And I was afraid when I first started doing it. And look, the old pride is all it was. Let's swallow our pride this year. Let's stand. Father, number one, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There's nothing impossible for God. And since He lives in us, that's us. And Lord, we ought to love others like He loved us. And we'll love Him because He first loved us. When we were unlovable, He loved us. So now, Lord, help us to see others the way You saw us. And give us the grace we need to pass out a tract, do a good work, love somebody, feed somebody, whatever it takes, God. And then You, Lord, You give us the ability. You call us, You give us the ability. I know You will, but give us courage. And somehow, some way, Christ will be seen in 2019. Now, I don't know who's saved and who ain't. I know I am.